Okay, I think that for Parshas Toldos, it would make a lot of sense to speak about the following inyan. And that is the topic of liar, liar, trousers on fire. are there any reasons that a person could lie for what is called a good reason? And we know from this week's Parsha there is a tremendous question on Yaakov Avinu's seemingly, if we can call it this, although probably not appropriate, but I'll do it anyway, deceitful nature in the way that he receives the Bechara. Now, one could argue, of course, that this came, of course, from none other than his mother, who even the Gemara says, he questioned, he says, emes le'Yaakov, chesed is, he's known for emes. So how can it be? So he said to his mom, I can't do this. My whole life I've tried not to lie, and now this is worse. Do you deceive him? I can't do it. And he says, she says, no, but nevuah, I understand this right thing to do, and he believed it. So how do we answer this? How is it possible that he's asked to do this? Now, one can say that it's her fault, and so he listened to his mother, and the father maybe didn't exactly, and this is what was supposed to be. But one could question, though, but he did something deceitful even before this. And that was the selling, quote-unquote, of the Bechor. He knew that, it's hard to, he knew it was the wrong thing to do. So, there are a lot of ways to answer this. And one possibility is, yeah, there are times where you're allowed to be deceitful, you're allowed to, let's call it lying, for better lack of a word, in order to protect, really, what is emes. Certainly in cases of darchet shalom, in cases of shalom bias, maybe it's mutter. So that's what I wanted to investigate. Just spend a little time looking at this idea. Torah tells us, midvar shecher tirchak. You should spend all your days making sure that a person doesn't lie. And that is potentially a very difficult thing. And in fact, there's a study that was done pretty recently that says that the average person lies 100 to 200 times a day. That's crazy. I mean, I certainly didn't even lie once today. That's number 165. You know, okay, so people lie. We know that. The Mishnah in Avos tells us, Shoshu Dvar Ma'olam Omeid, Ala Din Vela Emes Ve'Hashalom. Emes. Chayis Moshe LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emes, the Gemara in Shabbos says. So how can this be? And in fact, the Gemara in Makos in Chav Dalet actually says this. That Avram Avinu was known for the Midah, of course, of Tmimus. V'italecha Lufnei Lufanai V'hayya Tamim. Poilut Tzedek. Udover Emes Pilu Avot. That was Yaakov Avinu. So how can it be? So pointed out here, the Rabbeinu Yonah in Shaar Teshuva gives nine categories of worst severity of lying. And number one is actually people who cheat in the business world. Causing another person financial loss. This is probably one of the largest stumbling blocks for people. Because of the fact that generally lying, meaning that gets your product sold a lot of times. The advent, let's say you were the creator of a product, you know, and you're going to put it on an infomercial, so the people, the marketing people come to you and say, well, you got to say this, that, and the other. Does it really do that? The way that we write, for example, when somebody's showing a home, so we write a very different type of, we take a certain picture from a certain angle, so it could cause financial loss to another person. Is that appropriate? Different things we, al-chet shachatan lefanecha, people exploit other people. You gain trust in a person. Lies cause to lose out on gain or benefit when they come to you. I mean, causing others to lose. People who make up stories just because they like to lie. They like good stories. Usually it's not the case is they make up the stories because of themselves, because they have low self-esteem. So on and so forth. However, the Shulchan Aruch gives us cases. The Gemara gives many cases of lying. Example, Yuridei Shulchan Aruch Chilchos Avela Simon Tuf Bed. It says, Misha mate lo, mate, v'lo noda lo, eno chol v'shamer lo. A person is about to walk to his chasana, or walk to his kid's chasana, and you found out that the Karev was died. So you know if you were to say to him that moment, he would have to sit shiver. And there's enough time for him to know after the wedding and go to the funeral. You don't have to say anything to him. Afilu ba'avivimo. Interesting. Quotes a pasuk in Mishle. Umiyu im shoyel olav ein lo sheker lomar. Now, you can't lie to him. And he says, hey, you were just in the town my father lives in. How's my dad doing? Oh, well, your dad, he's dead. You have to be honest. You can't give the, right? So it's interesting, on one hand, you have to tell the MS. Meaning, I guess, maybe, that if the question of Yitzchak Avinu was, are you Esav? So then you can lie. That's what it seemingly is saying over here. The Minchas Yitzchak, Shelos Yus Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, has a very interesting tshuva. Ha'im mutter lomar, is it mutter for a person to give a big schum because it allows other people to outbid him, right? For example, right? You go to shul and you go to the gabbai and say, listen, Money Buck's over there, the one thing he hates more than anything else of me winning a bid. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to auction off Maftir Yoina, start at $10,000. I don't have the money. I'm never going to pay for it. And then we'll get to 50 and then I'll be out of it. And then I'll be like, oh, and it'll pay the $50,000. But I have no intention of paying it. So the tshuva basically says how this is us. He quotes the Maharsha, Hainu, Shabali Bate Minhage Hakila, Shapiskin Staka Muruba Veinam Notim Kula. Horrible thing. Sha'im Shalom Hashem Dutnan Lakach Elo Bishvil Acherim. Right? So it could be that in certain cases, by the way, Rav Zilberstein has many tshuvas about the Indian of lying and sheker, but would a Rav, right, you have a somebody comes to a Rav and they say to him, listen, Misken, we have a very difficult thing in our family, we want my daughter to be married, but unfortunately we don't know how to, we don't have the busha to go and collect stock. So the rabbi comes up with a great idea. He goes to shul, what does he say? It's very difficult for me to say this, but I'm marrying off my daughter and I need money. And everybody runs to give him money. Turns out he's lying, it's for somebody else. So Zilberstein said that would be mutter. As long as it's going to the exact same case that you said, so it would be mutter. Now, I don't know if the rabbi of a shul is going to do, they're going to find out his kid's going to get married, but in some cases that would be mutter. Now, what's important to understand is the derech of a person is what you are accustomed to do generally is who you are. Meaning, a person who becomes accustomed to lying, so he becomes a liar. A person who, his first job out of college is to make phone calls and to say a certain script, and that script really isn't true. I have a friend who used to sell the internet back in the late 90s. And he worked for a company that actually did not have internet services yet. So hundreds of people bought internet service. And when they would call and complain, it's not working, it would be like, yeah, you have to do this. He would lie to them, basically. Why? Because they were trying to get a customer base, and then finally this one, the internet was first invented, if you will, during the Al Gore years. So, now, again, saying this is interesting, because there's a number of different cases where we see that lying is actually good, in a way, if you will. Rav Papa, in the Gemara in Brachos on Men Gimel, makes up a Talmudic statement in order to avoid embarrassment. On the Brach on Shemen Achar Besamim, the other Gemaras speak about the famous Gemara Kala Noah Vachasuda, right? Can you lie to the Kala and say, I'll tell you something, you know how they say all Kalas are beautiful? You're not so beautiful, right? So let's just give a few different cases here of areas where lying is permitted. So I'll just give you the koteret. Lying is permitted to preserve the cause of peace, not the person's feelings, to provide him comfort, to say something that might not be 100% true. You never go to a chola and say, wow, I just read your chart, sorry. So can you lie to him? Say, you know what, it's not that bad. I don't. Lying in a situation where honesty might cause oneself or another personal harm. Lying for the sake of sneus in order not to appear arrogant. Certainly we know, for example, mutter to lie if a woman's going to the mikvah, and a friend says to her, where are you going tonight? You know, and instead you say, I'm going to the supermarket. Oh, you liar, how can you say that? Just protecting modesty. for the sake of decency, right? If this is exactly what I was just saying, intimate matters, you don't talk about what did you do last night, lying to protect one's property from people who might steal it. So all these things would be mutter. So let's give some examples of these areas that the Gemara speaks about. And then we'll summarize, I think, what is a very important way. Now, as I started to tell you, the first thing is that we see this from our own parsha, that Yaakov is sent to falsely present himself. So we see that there are certain times where it's mutter for a person to lie. So let me give you some other examples. A wealthy man is permitted to lie about his wealth if he fears that there will be an ayin hara. People will become jealous, right? This is a sefer that's quoted called Titan Emes LeYaakov, who is a sefer that quotes a lot of psakim from Rav Yoshev and Rav Shlomo Zalman Arba. We quoted the tshuva about, this is a little bit said differently, of the Minchas Yitzchak, that it would be mutter when collecting funds from a poor Torah scholar. One may say that he's collecting for Hachnasas Kala, because he doesn't want to use the name of the person. Let's say you live in a town, there's one big Talmud Chacham. So you don't want to say. So I said before, here he says, no, you're not. Rav Zilberstein said it has to be the same thing, but he disagrees. This is from the Mishnah Sochir, the Sheol Tshuvas. And he bases it on a story about the Chassam Sofer. Says that it's not really lying, because the Talmud Chacham is called the Kala of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Okay, very nice. Another scenario would be, you could raise funds, as Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has quoted, you can raise funds for Hachnosas Kala, even if it's really for Chassan. You're helping the Chassan out, he's going to, it's fine. Very interesting. Rav Yoshev, Rav Chaim Kanievsky say, are you allowed to, you have movers, so you write on some of the boxes, fragile, glass. There's no glass in there, but you want them to be careful with your stuff. So he said, yeah, you could do that. One of the most difficult things is that somebody knocks on the door, and you say to your kid, tell them I'm not home. Can you do that? So if by refusing to receive a visitor, the visitor will feel hurt. So you're allowed to tell, generally it will be your children, that you're not home. So, because then he's going to feel pogea. So it's better not to do that. Again, Rav Yoshev says this in Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Now, there's a funny story I'll tell you before we get to some nitty-gritty stuff. There's a funny story told about a child. The child is in school. He comes home from school, and he receives a call from the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, so the father, I'm really sorry to have to report to you, but your son was not very good today in school. So he says, what do you mean? What happened? He says, well, we caught him lying. My son lying? Can't. He says, yeah, your son, the good guy, the good, we caught him lying. So he says, that's terrible. So he sits down with the son and he says, he gives him the little zets, and he says, we don't lie. He said, Emma Siakoy! Our Sheker Tirchuk, what are you doing? So the kid gets the message. About an hour later, the phone rings. The kid walks in, he's covering the phone like any good son should do, and he says, "Nu, Rebbe." He says, sorry, Abba, Tati, so-and-so is on the phone. Ooh, tell him I'm not home. And the kid freezes. What happened? I just gave you the whole schmooze about Titanavus Yaakov. You're asking me to lie again. Is this a test? What is this? So sometimes we have to be very careful, right? Is that good? So that's something we have to be very careful about, right? Are we consistent? So let's go to some cases.
The Gemara in Yevamos. Rav Eli said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, it is permitted for a person to deviate from the truth in order to promote shalom. As the Pasuk says, that your father Yaakov commanded before his death, saying, so that you should go to Yosef, please forgive the offense you have done. Think about the Torah's command to go make peace with the brothers. And Rav Nosson says it's a commandment, it's a chiyuv to deviate the truth from Yisrael Shalom. He learns it from a pasuk in Shmuel. Very interesting. Continue. That's number one. Number two, Hashem himself suggests that Shmuel HaNavi should go and bring the Egel and sacrifice it, even though the whole point of him was to anoint David as king. Even though Shmuel did indeed bring the Korban, that wasn't really the reason for his trip, and that's what he told everybody. Now that's something else. It's called Genevas Das. Genevas Das is a whole other area of leading on a person. Right? I always give the example, you're going to visit your grandmother in the hospital, and you finish your visit and you're walking down the hall and your friend sees you and he says, "Whoa! How did you know I was in the hospital? How did you come all the way here to see me? You're tzaddik!" So the right thing to do is to say, "Well, my grandmother's actually in the hospital." Normally, what do we say? "Yeah, I came all the way here. Hey, can you pay for my parking at least?" I mean, you know. So that's the wrong thing. If we know that it's going to cause a great amount of stress, so maybe it's better. Next case, Rabbi Shmuel. So, how do we know this? Right? This is the same idea from the Yevamos. It says like this. Rabbi Shmuel says, wait a minute. Avram and Sarah, the famous story about the Sachach Yitzchak. He laughed. He's old. The Rabbanu Shalom himself lied. How's that, Mutter? Fine. Next case. Gemara and Kesuvos. On Tezvav, over there says, Tezayin says, how do you dance in front of the bride? Ketza maraktim lifnei akala. So we always, of course, use Shita of Beis Hillel. Kala no, kala no, bachasud, ketza maraktim lifnei akala. So what's the halacha? So he says, Rav Shammai says, right, Beis Shammai says that we praise the bride Kolshi. Right? The famous machlekes about do we lie or not? Or do we tell us just maybe we should lie? Don't tell the truth exactly. Halanova chasuta. Mitvar shachatircha, I told you. Says Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai. Are you allowed to lie in the marketplace and say something's not of the same value whether you think that it is? So no. So this is because of Shalom. So Tosfos disputes this and explains why in fact this is. So he said it's different in the case of a person saying by a kala that she's kala noah b'chasuda, you're beautiful, she's not really beautiful. Because it doesn't lead a person to start lying. But it's the right thing to do, it's nice. There's all Tosfos over there you could look at. So again, we see that this is the right way that a person should act. Finally, the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara says on Daf Chaf Dalet and Chaf Hey, it talks about three situations where Torah scholars lied. So the first case is that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, in the following three matters, it is a practice of the rabbis not to tell the truth. In matters of tractate, bed, and hospitality. Meaning, if a Rav is asked,
Rebbe, I'm learning Sanhedrin. Do you know Sanhedrin? So he doesn't want to say, what do you mean, do I know Sanhedrin? You know, every time they did Sanhedrin? I did Sanhedrin. So he says, so what does he answer? I don't really know. I used to have a Rebbe who used to say, whenever he asked him a question, I'm really sorry, I don't know the answer. Let's look it up together. Until I started to realize he wasn't a stupid guy. He wanted to force me to say, you can do this yourself. You don't need to ask me all the time. But he made him out to be a stupid. I don't know, he never really answered anything. What he was trying to do. Of course, you have to, you shouldn't be, you know, there's a famous story about Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, the great Gadol. He was testifying once in the court system in England, and they said he's under oath. So he says, that, listen, who are you? What's your name? State your name and your occupation. He says, my name is Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. I am one of the leading decisors in the entire world of halacha. Judge says to him, excuse me, aren't Jews supposed to be humble? He says, Your Honor, I'm under oath. You can't lie. This is who I am. So it's important. The truth is, it is important to know who you are. According to Rashi, what does it mean? Bed? Right? If somebody was to ask, I don't know why, did you have relations with your wife last night? So you can lie. You don't have to say. Just like I told you about the mikvah. Tosa says that's not Rashi's interpretation. It's not true. Because nobody would ask this. So he says it's different. One's allowed to lie if he was asked whether or not he slept in a particular bed. Why? Because it could be embarrassing. Maybe there are stains in the bed. That's what it means. So what does it mean? Achnazah, hospitality? So that refers to a situation where one is asked whether a host was hospitable or not. So he doesn't want to cause problems for the host. So maybe you're going to lie, downplay how amazing this host is, because they don't like to have people over all the time. Okay. So those are some different cases. There are a lot of other cases. I saw an article, very interesting article, which lists many different cases where lying is done. So what's the bottom line? So the bottom line is that these cases are not, I don't think, unique within the halachic realm, in the sense of, I think that a person is, in certain cases, allowed to lie mipnei darchei shalom, right? You know, right before Shabbos starts. So a person is about to, is getting ready for Shabbos, and his wife says, ooh, you went to the dry cleaners, I asked you six times, you went. Like, of course you went to the dry cleaners, don't worry about it. I'm like, oh shoot. So why is he lying? So he knows the whole Shabbos she's going to be mad at him. It's not worth it. So there are certain cases where it's allowed. Now, it could be that midvar she'er tirchak, because you know that when you do it, you're doing it for such an important reason, because of shalom bayis, because of snius, so it would be mutter. Now, in the case of Yaakov and his father Yitzchak, I want to learn out a different idea. So many of the Mefarshim, not many of the Mefarshim, but there are many Mefarshim, not many, there are Mefarshim that say that Yitzchak knew exactly who Esav was. He understood who he was. Some of the Midrash says that he was trying to makariv him, right? Bring him in, be Yamino, Smolo, and Yamino, bringing him out. And he needed, you know, a child, Rachman al-Son, with special needs, so he needs more attention. So he needed more attention. He had special needs, meaning he was a bit of a czar. It's not fair, okay, but that's what it is. But there's something different over here. He was so impressed and so happy with his son, Yitzchak was, of Yaakov. Ish tam yoshev olim, sit learn to, hey, who's Yitzchak? Come on, let's remember. It's a guy had sat and learned his own Torah for many years. He went back to Shem of Aver. And he learned after the Akedah for many years. So why wouldn't he give him the bracha of the Bechorah? Because he wasn't sure if he had what it took to lead the future nation of Israel. And as bad as Esav was, he was Ish Mochama, maybe. What was the area that he didn't have? So says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is that he didn't have Yitzchak's midah. Yitzchak took his father's midah of chesed and realized you can't just be a pushover and do chesed all the time. You need gevurah. But we sometimes interpret the word gevurah to mean strength. Gevurah. It's a gever, we say in Hebrew. It's a gever. That's not true. Says Rav Aaron, the word gevurah is perseverance. Perseverance means where a person, despite it being difficult,
I'm still going to do it. It's the right thing to do. Yitzhak Avinu, with all of his problems, whether they were the problems of his sight, he persevered like no other. Yitzhak Avinu took the wells that were dug up from his father's time, and he didn't care that everybody was digging them back up. And he dug them again. Why? Persevered. This is the way a Jew has to do. And in order to leave the nation of Eretz Yisrael, you got to have the chesed, the mitzvahs, and the Torah, and everything, but you have to have perseverance. You have to be willing to go to do it. And he was afraid that who didn't have that? That Yaakov didn't have that. Yishtam Yoshev O'Alem. In fact, Rav Kook says, Rav Yehuda Kook says, that the relationship was almost like a Yisachar and Zevulun relationship. And he figured Esau would be the leader, and he would allow Yaakov to sit and learn all the time. He would go out to war, and he would be the learner. Yisachar and Zevulun relationship. Not so bad. So there was a test. And the test was, here's my test. Will he be able to try to fool me? Now, it seems clear that he didn't completely fool him. Hakol kol Yaakov, Yadayim de Yesov. He wasn't there completely, right? Whoopsie. You think at that point Yitzhak said, it's probably not. Okay, you're probably really Yesov. You know, when Yaakov, if you will, screwed up and said, you know, Shem Hashem, that's not what Yesov would do. But then Yitzhak probably had a big smile on his face and he says, it is Yaakov. But he can trick. He can do. You need that sometimes. How did I laugh with Avimelech and all the stories with my father, Avram? There was lying done on there. But perseverance is, I'm not going to quit. And that, I think, is the point here. That was the point for him. I was thinking that maybe this is a big challenge in our own generation, to persevere. Because it's not really something that is an important quality anymore. Let me give an example. I thought that maybe we could say the following. A baby, a little baby, crawls all the time. So what happened? Now the baby decides that the baby wants to walk. So what does the baby do in order to walk? It gets up, it takes a step maybe, and plops down. Takes his plops down again. Now the Rebbe Shalom decided that the way that walking works is that you can only start walking when you're 16 years old. So the entire nation of the world would be crawling. Why? Because we would get up, we would fall, we would get up again and fall, and we'd go, okay, it's not worth it. Why do you think it is that a baby gets up and falls, gets up and falls, gets up and falls? Why? They're uninhibited. They don't care what other people think. Care. You're going to laugh at me? You're going to laugh at the baby. We don't laugh at the baby. We think it's like the biggest mitzvah. Wow, what a simcha. Took two steps. Can you imagine if you get up now and go, whoo, how'd you get it? Wow. Who cares? That's the yisod. Perseverance means I don't care what other people think. I don't care. I'm on a mission. I'm on the mission of the Rebbe Lishon. It's so important. But not just that. Look, according to at least one shita, according to every shita, Avram fights the Malachim of to save Lot's life. It certainly wasn't a big army. According to some, it was just him and Eliezer. He says, no, I don't care, I'll persevere. The numbers don't have to make sense. I have a Muna. It's going to work. Look at the history of all large, big companies that were started by amazing CEOs who are billionaires today. Perseverance. They came from nothing, or they, right? Lahavdil. I once saw there's a show on TV apparently, and it's called Shark Tank, I believe it's called. So on Shark Tank, there are these entrepreneurs, they like to say they came from nothing, but So, two guys come on to Shark Tank, and they're investing in whatever the product is, I don't remember. and they say, well, we started the product and we haven't invested $2 million right now. $2 million, all everybody starts listening. What? Where do you get $2 million? Oh, our father, I don't know if you know, our father, he owns whatever it is, one of the largest retail stores of video games, GameStop. So immediately one of the entrepreneurs says, I'm out. I said, what do you mean you're out? He says, because every day of the week I will take somebody who came from nothing and somebody who came from something. Because if you came from money, you don't have perseverance. You're not going to work hard. Sweat tears. When you have nothing, you say, I want the dream. Whatever you want to call it. People call it the American dream in America. The, whatever it is. That's what you need. Now, maybe we could even say that you sowed in our own lives, but maybe also in what we're discussing tonight. Maybe the idea of lying is that I'm persevering. I know this is the wrong thing to do, but it's going to help my relationship over here. It's going to help how I'm going to deal with my wife to say the right thing. It's going to help with sneers. Sometimes you have to do that. And if Yaakov wasn't able to do that, so said Yitzchak, he can't be the leader of the Jewish people. It's like saying we have Torah. But you can't always stick only to the Torah without knowing the right thing to do. And finally, this is what, just to conclude, another idea I thought of, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said, which is a very important idea. So he says, when we talk about this idea, so he says, that's why the Kohen Gadol had two things on him, the tzitz on the head and the choshen mishpah. Because logic of the mind, logic of the heart, when you get a shaila, it's not just the halacha says this is the halacha. Go do it. Who are you? Where are you from? Why are you asking me this question? And based on your circumstance, this person can get a business. It doesn't matter. Three people in the room with the same exact shaila, three people get three. How can it be? That's the yisod of Adam Gadol. He says, persevere. It's easy for anybody to say, it's us, sir. It's us, sir. Okay. We all can paskin, it's us. To paskin, it's mutter. You have to persevere. You have to figure out how am I going to find a sheet of lahak. I once had a shaila, once had to ask Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. I was sure the answer would be, it's us, sir. And he said to me, look, explain to me your situation. Explain to me what. And he said, okay. In your situation, it's mutter. And I remember him saying, he grabbed me, he said, don't, it's just for you. In this specific situation, at this specific time, I can do this. It's not for the next thing that happens. So that's what we have to keep in mind. Yes, titen emes liyakov, devar shecher tirchak. The oilum is oimed al emes. Chayis v'shal kodesh baruch hu emes. But you can't always live in black and white. There is some gray sometimes. Shkoich.